Okay. Well, I am back after a little bit of a break. It's nice to be back, but it was good to be away for a little bit. Anyhow, the learning must go on, so let us continue. So what we are still holding in our journey through the Siddur, we're at Birchos Kriyas Shema, but since we're getting pretty close to Tisha B'Av, Shavuot Shechal Bo, thought it would be appropriate to do a Tisha B'Av edition of our Siddur Shir and focus on the Tfilas Nachim. So, with that in mind, we know we have Nachim in our Siddur. We say it, the Ashkenazi custom, we'll see in a little bit, is to say it at Mincha on Tisha B'Av. But where exactly does it come from? The answer is it comes from a Yerushalmi. There's a Yerushalmi in Brachos, which mentions the idea that on Tisha B'Av, you're supposed to mention Me'ein HaMa'ora, you're supposed to refer to the events that occurred on that day. And Nachim mentions the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so it would be appropriate to mention Nachim, to say that paragraph on Tisha B'Av. It's only mentioned in the Yerushalmi, it's not mentioned in the Bavli, and for that reason, Rav Saadia Gaon in his Siddur, if you look at the Siddur, he says, I think I have it here somewhere. He says, "V'hamivarech eino mafsid, ve'ein chashash ba'amirasa." You're not required to say it. There's no chashash if you without saying it. But if you make a bracha, if you make the bracha lo mafsid, you didn't lose anything. That is the statement from Rav Saadia Gaon. But clearly, from the Yerushalmi, it's mentioned later on in the Rambam and all the Gaonim, that it is appropriate to mention Nachim. So even though it's not found in the Bavli, nevertheless, the custom is to say it. And that's what we do. We say, we recite Nachim on Tisha B'Av. The question, though, is when is the appropriate place to recite Nachim? This is a fascinating discussion, and it actually is mentioned in the Gemara. Most people focus on the text itself, but the next question that the Yerushalmi asks is, well, where do you say Nachim? Where do you insert it in the Shmon Esrei? And the Gemara seems to give a cryptic answer. At least the version that we have, the answer is very cryptic. And all the Gemara says is as follows. If the Nachim, the focus is on the future, then the appropriate place is to say it during the Avoda, during Ritzei. But if the focus is on the past tense, if it's on Lisha Avar, if it's on what happened in the past, then the appropriate place is Modim. What does that mean? So just to help us understand things, and this actually will clarify a lot, why is it that Al HaNisim is recited after Modim and Yalav Yavo is recited after Ritzei? Shouldn't it all be in the same place? Why did Chazal put them in those different places? So that now we understand it. Yalav Yavo, the focus is on the future. Yalav v'yavo v'yagia v'yere'e v'yeretzeh, and so on and so forth. And since it's about the future, we say it in Ritzei. So right after Ritzei, we say Yalav v'yavo. Al HaNisim is mentioning the miracles in the past. So what's the appropriate place to insert it? By Modim. So therefore, after Modim, we recite Al HaNisim. So what about Nachim? So the Gemara, again, doesn't really give an answer. The Gemara seems to just say, if it's the future tense, it's in Ritzei. If it's in the past tense, it's in Modim. Okay, but what about, answer the question. So you could really look at it in one of two ways. You can say that Nachim is about the past. It's about remembering the Churban. If it's about the past, then the appropriate place would be to have it in Modim. Or you can say, no, Nachim is about the future. It's about rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore the appropriate place is to say it in Ritzei. And the truth is, this is actually a Machlokas Rishonim. Different opinions. Where is the appropriate place? The Bir Halacha is insistent that the appropriate place is Ritzei, not Modim. The focus is on the future, not on the past. But nevertheless, the Rif writes that the minhag is not to say it in Ritzei, it's not to say it in Modim, rather, the appropriate place is to recite Nachim, where? In the Lirushalayim Ircha. Since it's connected to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, we put Nachim in that section of the Shmon Esrei. So does it really matter then, whether there's a machlokes to recite Nachem in Ritzei or Modim? The answer is sort of. But let's say we have the following question. What happens if someone forgets to say Nachem in the paragraph of V'li Yerushalayim Ircha? What do you do? Now, when is the most appropriate point to recite Nachem? Fascinating. Interestingly enough, the Taz says, say it in Shamea Tefillah. However, the Bir Halacha says, no, and Mr. Burr also writes that if you forget to say Nachem in V'li Yerushalayim Ircha, the appropriate place would be to recite it in Ritzei. What happens if you miss Ritzei, you forget to say it there? Then perhaps you can say it after Modim. But let's say you forget it after Modim, then what? Then the Kaf HaChaim writes you can say it at the end of Elokai Neshama. Sorry, Elokai Netzor. I'm mixing up my Elokai. So Elokai Netzor, right before the Yehu L'Ratzon, at the end of the Shmon Esrei, you can say it there. But what happens if you completely forget to recite Nachem, totally finish Shmon Esrei? At that point, the halacha is you're not required to repeat it, although there is an opinion from one of the Rishonim, the Ritz Geus, one of the Spanish Rishonim, 11th century, the Ritz Geus says that you are required to repeat the Shmon Esrei if you miss Nachem, but that is certainly not our custom. If you miss Nachem, you are not required to repeat Shmon Esrei. So that is the discussion about what's the appropriate place for Nachem, but again, the general custom, not the general, the custom is to recite Nachem during the V'li Yerushalayim Ircha. Now the next question is, well, how many times do we say Nachem in our davening? So here we have a basic machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. In Simen Tav Kuf Nun Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch says this very clearly. On Tisha B'Av, you say Nachem in Bonei Yerushalayim, which means at Mariv, at Shacharis, and Musaf, you say Nachem. However, the Ramah says, and that is the Sfarta custom, to say it in all three tefillos. However, the Ramah then chimes in and says as follows, V'haminag pashut she'ein omrim Nachem rak b'tfilas mincha shel Tisha B'Av. Our custom is only to recite Nachem at mincha of Tisha B'Av. Why? Lefisha az hetziso b'mikdash eish. Because that is when the Beis HaMikdash was lit on fire. That is the ruling of the Ramah, based on the other Rishonim, Avudraham and Rokeach. And therefore the Ashkenazic custom is to only recite Nachem at Mincha time. But the rationale is very strange. Since that is when the Beis HaMikdash was lit on fire, so therefore it's only appropriate to say Nachem then. How is that a Nechama? We're being consoled because that's precisely when the Beis HaMikdash was lit on fire? That's perhaps the time of our biggest sorrow. Why would we talk about Nechama at that point? You would think that that's the last time we would want to focus on Nechama. We would want to think about being aghast, being in shock. Nechama? Akina would be more appropriate. However, the traditional explanation is that there is a sense of Nechama during Mincha time when the Beis HaMikdash was burnt. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're told, took out his anger on Eitzim Va'avanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out his anger on the Jewish people, not by destroying the Jewish people, but by destroying their Beis HaMikdash. The physical manifestation of God's glory, yes, but essentially it's stone. It's wood and stone. Man, humanity, the Jewish people were spared, and therefore there is Nechama. Like God could have destroyed all of us for our chataim, but instead God took out his anger on Eitzim Va'avanim. So that is a form of Nechama. There is an idea from the Chasam Sofer, a similar idea, where he is bothered by the word of Nachem. He actually is asked the question about Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Why are we saying the language of Nachem when we console somebody? Hamakom Yenachem Eschem. That's when the person has lost someone and they're never coming back. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, consoling people that we've lost the Beis HaMikdash, it's not a permanent loss, it's only a temporary loss. So the language of Nachim seems a little strange. So if we have the one idea of that, how is Nachim appropriate at Mincha time? And the answer is there is a sense of comfort because God didn't take out his anger on us. But the other issue is that when we're saying Nachim on the Beis HaMikdash, the language seems incorrect because we didn't lose the Beis HaMikdash for imperpetuity. We lost it just temporarily. So here the Chasam Sofer explains that we sort of did lose the Beis HaMikdash permanently. What do you mean? Because the third Beis HaMikdash, we're told, is Mikdash Hashem Konanu Yadecha, that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to come only from the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no human intervention, human involvement in the third Beis HaMikdash. It's only coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only coming from Shemaim, and therefore, the Batei Mikdash, as we knew them, being physically built by us, they're gone. No more. And for that, it is appropriate to say, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, because that form of Beis HaMikdash will no longer be present. That is the idea from the Chasam Sofer. Interestingly, so I mentioned before that the Shulchan Aruch says we should recite Nachem on all three tefillos, and the Ramah writes, no, we only say it at Mincha time. There is an interesting opinion of the tour quotes they read from Barcelona. The Rimi Barceloni writes that at Mincha you say Nachem, but at Shachris and Mariv you say Rachem. Now what in the world is he talking about, Rachem and Nachem? The text we have is Nachem Hashem Elokeinu. So let's get into the text a little bit. The Gemara Yerushalmi in Brachos asks, what is the bracha that we recite on Tisha B'Av? And here is the original text. The original text from the Yerushalmi doesn't mention Nachem. It says as follows, Rachem Hashem Elokeinu Berachamecha Harabim Ubachasidecha Hane'emanim Aleinu V'al Amcha Yisrael V'al Yerushalayim Irecha V'al Tzion Mishkan Kvodecha. So, let's translate. May the Lord our God, with your great mercy and truthful kindness, have mercy on us, on your people, Israel, on Jerusalem, your city, on Tzion, the dwelling place of your honor, V'al Ha'ir Ha'avela V'Hachareva, and on the city that is in sorrow, that is V'Harusa, that has laid waste and ruined, Vashomema, desolate, Hanasuna Biyad Zarim, that is given to the hands of strangers, Haramusa Biyad Aritzim, trampled by oppressors, Viershua Legionos, foreign legions have taken possessions of her, Vayechalalua Ovde Psilim, and idolaters have praised her, or defiled her, Vuli Yisrael Amcha, Nasata Nachala, while the truth is, you gave it as an inheritance to the Jewish people. Ulezera Yeshurun, and to the descendants of Yeshurun. Yerusha Horashta, you gave it to them, you bequeathed it to them as an inheritance. Kibeish Hitzata, for you consumed it, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, with fire. Uveish Ata Asid Livnosa, and with fire you will rebuild it. Ka'amur v'ani eyeh la nu'um Hashem chomas eish saviv. God said, and I will be a wall of fire around the Beis HaMikdash. U'lechavod eyeh besocha, and I will be its glory within. That is the text of the, what we call Nachem. But if you ask the Yerushalmi, the text, it's the Rachem. That's the text. However, and if you look in all the Gaonim, here's from Rav Sadia Gaon. If you look carefully at Rav Sadia Gaon, it's Rachem. Rav Amram Gaon, the Rambam, their language is all Rachem, not Nachem. But somehow, the language that we have that came into our Siddur became Nachem and not Rachem. And in fact, the rest of the language is similar to the Yerushalmi's text, but not exactly the same. So we, I mean, we'll let's read through it in the regular text. If you have a sitter in front of you, you can look it up. It says, Nachem Hashem Elokeinu es avele tzion ves avele Yerushalayim. That our Lord, our God, we're asking God to console the mourners of Tzion and Yerushalayim. Fits nicely with the traditional Hamakom Yenachem Eschem Besoch Shara Avele Tzion of Yerushalayim. Ves ha'ir ha'avela v'ha'chareva v'ha'bzuya v'ha'shomema. So the words heharusa is not in there. V'ha'avela mibli baneha. This is also a language which wasn't there. Desolate without any children. V'ha'chareva mime'onoseha. Scorned, bereft of her children, destroyed of her buildings, v'habezuya mikvados, scorned of her glory, v'hashomema me'en yoshev. So they give definitions which were not given clearly in, which are not mentioned in the text, the original text of the Yerushalmi. V'hi yosheves v'rosha chafui, she sits with her head covered, ki'isha akara shelo yelada, like a woman who is barren and childless. Vayevalua legionos v'yirashua ovdei psilim. So here, legions have devoured her, idolaters have plundered her. Vayatilu es amcha Yisrael lecharev. They have cast your people Israel to the sword. Vayargu bezadon chaside elyon, purposely killed the devoted ones of the Most High. Al kain sion b'martivka v'yirushalayim titein kola. Libi libi al chalaleihem, may I al chalaleihem. Therefore, Tzion weeps in bitterness, and Jerusalem raises her voice. My heart breaks for those they killed. My insides ache for those they killed. Ki ata Hashem ba'esh hitzata ube'esh ata asid livnosa. Since you destroyed it with fire, you will rebuild it with fire. Kamur vani eyela nu Hashem chomas esh saviv ulechaber eyevasocha. And then we end up with a bracha, which is not mentioned in the Yerushalmi. Baruch ata Hashem menachem tzion Ubone Yerushalayim. So you see that a lot of the text remained, but there was a bunch that was changed over time from the original text of the Yerushalmi. So then the question is, who finalized this text? I don't have a good answer for you to understand who it was that took the final version and put it together, who was responsible for it. To say that it was the Anshei Knesset HaGadola might be a bit of a stretch, because if it was the Anshei Knesset HaGadola who put this exact text together, why is the Yerushalmi's text different? So hard to say. But nevertheless, the beginning and ending are fairly similar. The middle part is different, certainly much more different from each other. But the reason why we're learning this, focusing on this, is for two reasons. Well, one is for the purpose of learning it, but the question is, once we see that this Nachem text is different from the original Yerushalmi text, does that mean we have the right to adapt the text of Nachem when there may be a need to make a change? And when exactly would that need be? Well, in 1948 and 1967, there were perhaps reasons to argue that this language no longer applies. Bereft of her children, destroyed of her buildings, desolate of her inhabitants? I don't know. It sounds like by 67, when Hakotel Biadeno, that seems like it was a different time. And therefore, this language is not exactly the same, and therefore are not exactly accurate. It doesn't depict the facts on the ground, and if it doesn't depict the facts on the ground, maybe we should make a change. And that brings up a very fascinating discussion, which all of the religious Zionist rabbis discussed what to do with the text of Nachem. So without getting into so many details, we would say that some suggested to change Nachem, to keep the language the same, except turn everything into Lashon Avar, put it into past tense. And by putting it into past tense, so we're keeping the text, we're sticking to the text that was already agreed upon in times of the Rishonim at least, and But we just moved it into past tense because it no longer reflects the facts on the ground. Parenthetically, if we're making it all into past tense, that would mean that the appropriate place to recite Nachem would not be Ritzeh, would be at Modim, in case you miss Veli Yerushalayim Ircha. But okay, that's a separate issue that may come about as a result of that opinion. Others would remove some of the problematic phrases. So some removed Ha'avela Mibli Baneha, because we're not Avela Mibli Baneha, our children are there. Some took out the words Bezuya V'Shomema, it's no longer Bezuya. It's there, it's beautiful. So there are people who played with the text a little bit, took out some of the problematic phrases. Rav Goren, Shlomo Goren, actually has a version that he took from the Yerushalmi and from Rav Amram Gaon and from the Rambam and completely reformulated the tefillah to make it fit better with the facts on the ground. So that was his approach. But there were others who were in, and that, I think, if you have the Siddur Rinat Yisrael, I think his version is in that Siddur. In the Art Scroll, even the new RCA Siddur, the traditional one remains. Why is that? Well, that's based on the other opinions. Rav Avadya Yosef felt that we should keep the text exactly the same. He felt that it was close to the text of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. Again, I'm not sure how strong of an argument that is, but it's so close to the language of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, we shouldn't change it. Although, again, we see that there were changes made from the Yerushalmi to modern times, to the original Nachem that was in the Sidurim. So therefore, you would think that you would be allowed to make changes once again, but he was insistent, no, this is the Matbea Shetavu Chachamim, and therefore, we cannot mess with this Girsa. Rabbi Soloveitchik had a different approach. He agreed in principle with Rav Avadya Yosef that we shouldn't change the text, but what Rabbi Soloveitchik felt was that so long as the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, Yerushalayim is still not considered rebuilt. It's still not considered beautiful and perfect because it's all Yerushalayim is an extension of the Beis HaMikdash. Tzion and Yerushalayim, which we'll get into in a moment, are one and the same. We need both in order to have, in order to be, to not be considered barren without children. We need our Bezuya, our Shomema. So long as the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, we still have that feeling of emptiness. And therefore, said Rabbi Soloveitchik, that the text that we've been using for all these years should continue despite the fact that we had the Kotel and we're so much closer to what we feel is Mashiach than and Geula Shlema than ever before. So that was, and Rav Kook also took that approach. Rav Kook also felt that we shouldn't change the text. And I believe even Rav Goren's version that he made, that he completely reformulated, I think there are two versions that Rav Goren made. The one that he completely reformulated was never fully approved by the chief rabbinate, and therefore they didn't really feel that it was appropriate to use. But I think some still use his version. That should be our biggest problem, which nusach we should use for Nachem. I think the bigger issue is the Beis HaMikdash is still not rebuilt. But that's a fascinating discussion about Nachem, since, again, once we started making changes from the way that Nachem was presented in the Yerushalmi to what it looks like in the Siddur, perhaps that gives us the right to play around with the language. Certainly, if you leave the beginning and endings the same as they were, and you just the middle parts you change a little bit, perhaps there's even more reason to say it should be fine. Because again, you start off and end off the right way, so in the middle you kind of change couple things here and there, perhaps that won't be too much of an issue. The just two more points, and because we mentioned it all the time, and I just alluded to it before, it's worth discussing, which is this idea of Avele Tzion va'Avele Yerushalayim. We mentioned Zion and Jerusalem. Are they the same thing? Or are they not? Are they two separate things? What is Tzion? And what is Yerushalayim? So if you look in Malachim, when Shlomo dedicates the Beis HaMikdash, we're told as follows. It says, "Uz Yakel Shlomo Ezikne Yisrael, Es kol rashi hamatos nisiei haavos livnei Yisrael el hamelach Shlomo Yerushalayim. They brought, Shlomo gathered everyone in Yerushalayim. Then it says, lahaalos es aron bris Hashem, to take the aron, meir David hi tzion, from ir David, which is tzion. Seems to indicate that there were two areas. There was Yerushalayim, which was the Makom HaMikdash, and then further back, which was Ir David, is where Tzion was. So there are two separate places. You can call them like neighboring cities. And so you have Yerushalayim, and then you have Tzion. Tzion would be further away. But they were both instilled with Kedusha, and therefore we talk about Tzion and Yerushalayim. They're twin cities, I guess. And therefore, that's the reference, perhaps. What's one way to understand it? The Malbim actually learns it in the opposite manner. It seems from a number of the Malbim's commentary of his commentary in Yeshaya, he seems to indicate that Tzion is actually where the Makom HaMikdash was. Yerushalayim is farther away. So he, for example, he says, "Ki mitzion teitze Torah." Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. What is Mitzion Teitze Torah? So he says, Mitzion, that's where the Sanhedrin sat, that's where the Kohen Gadol was, Malchus Beis David, that's Teitze Torah. In other words, it sounds like the Beis HaMikdash is Tzion. What's Yerushalayim? He says, Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, that's where the prophets were, the Nevi'im were men of the people. They were in Yerushalayim. That's when all the people will get inspiration from those Nevi'im who were among them. So you have Tzion inside, Yerushalayim outside, whereas perhaps the implication in Sefer Melachim is that Tzion was a town, a city, on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, behind Yerushalayim, or a different area of Yerushalayim. He also makes a similar comment in a different pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, "V'haya hanishar b'tzion v'hanosar b'Yerushalayim kadosh ye'omer lo," that the people who remained in Tzion, and even the nosar, the leftovers in Yerushalayim, they were all called kadosh. What does that mean? What's the difference between the remaining ones and the leftovers? So he says that the remaining ones were the tzaddikim, the tomchei Torah. Those were the people in Tzion. The leftovers, the nishar, they were some of the regular lay people. They were also considered kadosh. Everyone will be kadosh when the Beis HaMikdash will be restored. So according to those two approaches, Tzion and Yerushalayim are two different places. The question is, which one is holier? Is it Tzion or is it Yerushalayim? So you can look at it in two ways. But there is a fascinating idea that I saw quoted from Rav Kook, that Rav Kook writes that Tzion and Yerushalayim are actually exactly the same. They're the same place, but they represent two different qualities, or two different characteristics. Tzion is the physical building of the area, and Yerushalayim is the spiritual building. So that the Tzionim, if you will, are the ones who are focusing on the physical building of the area, and Yerushalayim, the focus is on the spiritual aspect. And I saw quoted that Rav Kook, he wanted to start a movement, his religious Zionist movement, he wanted to call Yerushalayim to counter the Tzionim, the Zionists, whose focus was not on the religious aspect, their focus was on the physical aspect, so Yerushalayim would focus on the spiritual aspect to counter, to have a little bit of both. One could enhance the other. And that was the idea from Rav Kook. So that's the idea of Tzion and Yerushalayim. But whatever text, whatever version you want to use, ultimately, I think Rav Avadia's, Yosef's words are strong and pertinent and something for us to consider, as harsh as they may seem. Rav Avadia, who I mentioned before, was insistent that we do not change the language of Nachem. He says, first of all, many of the elements of Nachem still apply from a physical standpoint. The whole area by the Beis HaMikdash is our heart Tzion Sheshameim Shulim Holchubo. The whole area of the Makom HaMikdash remains not in our hands. He says, Nisunim Biyad Zarim Sonei Yisrael. V'Yerushalayim ha'atika odeno malea gilulim shel akum bekama kinesios tameos. So there are still many reasons why the tefillos, the tefillah, the text that we've had for so many years, still applies. But even more than that, and perhaps this is the more important point, is that from a spiritual aspect, Nachem most certainly applies. It says Rav Avadia, Umilvad ze gam hamatzav haruchani shel Yerushalayim hu ba'avonaseinu harabim b'shafal hamadrega. It's still, we're at a very low point spiritually. You could probably make the argument that there's more learning now than ever before. But nevertheless, we're still not there yet. Ezkra Elokim ve'emaya birosi kol ir al tila benuya v'Yerushalayim mushpeles ad sheoltachtia. Says, no matter what, there's still so many of our fellow Jews who are not connected to Torah, who are not connected to mitzvos, and says Rav Avadia, we have much more work to do. So when we say Nachem, we're not just lamenting the fact that there isn't a physical Beis HaMikdash. We're not just lamenting the fact that there's no Tzion, if you will, but we're also lamenting the fact that we're lacking in Yerushalayim, as Rav Kook said, that there's so much work to do to bring people closer to Avodas Hashem. And that is our responsibility and our challenge during these times. Yes, we strive to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, but perhaps the best way to rebuild that Beis HaMikdash, to rebuild the Etim and Avanim, in order to do that, we first have to rebuild each other, build each other up instead of tearing each other down. And once we can accomplish that, we will have, and then we're Sinas Chinam, we will have our Beis HaMikdash of Mikdash Hashem Konanu Yadecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu will say, I don't need your help. I'm just going to bring it right down for you, plop it down, furnished, all ready to go, and we'll all be able to celebrate together in Tzion and in Yerushalayim, b'mhirav yameinu, amen. Have a good night, everyone, and I'll see you next time.